it's that time of the show. We try to finish the Phillies here, and we're going to make a deal. Lewis, who is in for Kyle today, is going to give us the blind resume of a potential trade target for the Phillies, and we'll decide whether or not we want that player. All right, Lewis, what do you got for us today?
All right, so this is an interesting one, I think.
Okay.
Right? In 40 games played this season, okay, this pitcher has a WAR of 1.8.
Okay.
A WHIP of 0.82.
Well, that's quite good, that 0.82. So yes. This is a relief pitcher, 40 games.
Yes.
Yeah, relief pitcher. Okay.
Yes. In 40.1 innings pitched, 29 strikeouts, only 7 walks. So that brings his strikeout to walk ratio to a 4.1.
Which is good. Yeah, I think anything over 3.5 to 4 or better is quite good.
It's pretty good.
Yep.
Only 7 earned runs in those 40.1 innings. This is interesting. His splits, his batting average between righties and lefties. So his batting average against lefties is only 100. So lefties are only hitting 100 against this relief pitcher.
Wow. Well, and that matters. I mean, in postseason, that could have,
yes,
could have Soto, and it could have obviously Ohtani and Freeman and Ikro Armstrong. There's a lot of good lefties in the NL.
I forgot to put the
music
back. That's
all right. See, this adds to it. Yeah. now we're making it.
Now we're building.
All right. So we got a guy that gets lefties out at a very, very good rate.
Yes. His righty batting average against him is .228. So still not too bad.
Yep.
And the on-base percentage for lefties is .172. On-base percentage for righties is .245. This I also thought was interesting. With runners on, he's had 60 at-bats with runners on. 10 runs, 10 hits. But the average is .167. Batters are hitting .167 against him with runners on. Now, runners in scoring position, this happens a lot for the Phillies, especially late, especially when we're not giving our pitchers run support, and it's a tight game. Mm. With runners in scoring position, 27 at-bats, only 8 runs, 4 hits, and an average batting average of .148 and an OBP of .188 with runners in scoring position.
So he's really buckled down when guys get on base.
That's what it seems like to me.
How old is this guy?
29.
And what kind of contract? Do we get team control or is this a pure rental?
That's where it gets a little interesting. Looks like he's up for arbitration next year. And he's an unrestricted free agent in 2027.
So we get one extra year. This year and next year.
Yes. Yeah. And do you want a contract number, how much he's worth? Yeah. 1.4.
So he's not making much.
Not a ton.
Probably will jump up a little bit next year, but not expensive in terms of money. All right.
Correct.
So how old is he again?
29.
Let me reconfirm that, but I believe 29.
So, Hugh, it obviously sounds like someone that would help, right? I mean, almost any relief pitcher that anyone's thrown at us, right? That Kyle's thrown at us or now Lewis, almost any of them are better than what we have. This bullpen is a problem.
He's 29.
29.
My only issue with him is he doesn't strike many batters out. I feel like the Phillies, one of their issues in the bullpen is they don't get enough swing and miss. We know this defense behind them is not very good. And you get to October, I want swing and miss out of the bullpen. So my official stance is I would take him, but I think there are better options. I know the ERA and some of the numbers Lewis threw at us make you feel good. I don't like that his strikeout rate that's pretty low for a reliever. Usually most relievers are striking out at least a batter per 9, and just doing the math on his, and it seems like it's like, 7 per 9 innings or whatever. It's not a lot. Hugh, I would take him, but I'm not overwhelmed.
And we have control over him, right? No, he's at a rental. Is he a rental?
One more year after this.
Okay, so a little bit of control.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm looking at potentially what do we have to give up for him. So not a whole lot, but we're going to have to give up something for him.
Something, yeah. Something. He's not, like, they're not giving him away, I'm sure.
And yeah, 1.56 ERA.
I'm guessing he's on a bad team, like a really bad team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's clearly on a seller's team.
So it has to be. Okay. I have a question. Is it a National League?
Yes.
So it's probably, I'm thinking maybe the Pirates, maybe the Braves, or maybe the Nationals.
Am I supposed to tell you?
Is he on one of those teams?
Yes.
I have a guess who it is.
I do too.
Who do you got?
David Bednar.
I'm guessing it's the same team, the other one. Dennis Santana?
It is Dennis Santana.
Santana, also a Pirate.
Uh-huh.
Now, I like Bednar better than Santana.
I tried to throw a curveball at you because I knew Bednar had come up already. I was trying to go back-to-back Pirates relievers.
Back-to-back. You trying to go back-to-back?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Welcome to the Midday Show, going back-to-back. All right, I would take Dennis Santana. I'm not too enthused, though. I just don't like his strikeout rate. I just pulled it up. It's 6.8 per 9. That's really low in modern baseball for a relief pitcher. So he's an interesting one. All right, let me throw at you a rumor that came out today, Hugh.
What you got?
Well, a name that I have loved for a long time, or I guess 2 years because he's young. But according to Ken Rosenthal, I don't even know what they're called now. Sacramento A's. What are the A's called? Where do they play baseball? Sacramento?
On ESPN, it just says the Athletics.
All right, whatever. The Athletics. According to Ken Rosenthal of the Athletic, no pun intended here, the Philadelphia, the A's, a year ago, he was untouchable. To this point, I'm reading from the column, the A's messaging this season has been, we're not talking about him. But here's from Rosenthal this morning. But according to sources briefed on the team's plans, that stance is subject to change.
Talking about the pitcher.
Yes, Mason Miller, the closer for the A's. So I'm just going to say this, and I hope the Phillies are listening. Of all of the names that are out there, whether it be Griffin Jacks, Duran, Clase, Bednar, you name them, Mason Miller is the one, like the first time in the last 3 weeks that I've seen all these names, I'm like, that's the one. Like, I would give up the most to get Mason Miller. I think he is awesome, first of all. Two, he's young and he's under team control. You get Mason Miller for 4 more years on top of what he has. Like, he just came up last year. Mm-hmm. So he could be the long-term closer. And I think his stuff is just on a different level. Now, you look at some of his numbers, his ERA, it's not what you want it to be. Mm. He had one bad outing in April that has kind of thrown off his whole season. Other than that, he has dominated. I love Mason Miller. Like, if you're telling me there's one relief pitcher that I would give up a ton for, with that, I wouldn't even blink. It is Mason Miller. I think he has got the chance to be a difference maker. Now, in the article, it says, which teams might tempt the A's? And here's what it says. The Philadelphia Phillies, who reached an agreement Sunday with free agent David Robertson, probably would be number one on the list. He also mentions the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees. So, I mean, obviously we're talking about the teams that are trying to go win World Series this year, and I don't want them on the Dodgers. Hugh, Mason Miller's a guy that came up last year. We talked about him.
A lot.
And then a few weeks ago, it seemed like the A's were saying they weren't interested in trading him. Now I'm getting the sense from this that if a team's willing to be desperate and willing to trade a lot, they're willing to listen. I would love Mason Miller. 26.
How much are you willing to give up, Joe? Because that's the question. You know what the question is. Yeah. Who are you willing to give up?
I'll give up anyone but Andrew Painter. Okay. When push comes to shove, if they say Miller for Painter straight up, I would do it.
Damn, Joe.
I think he's awesome. I think he could be the best relief pitcher in baseball for the next 5 years. Go get him. Go get him.
I hear you.
Don't be a John Middleton and tell me you can get good players and not win. Go get him.
That's a lot. But giving up Painter, because that's always the question that I have.
Always, yeah.
Is like, how far are you willing to go? Because when the phone call rings, well, when the phone rings, that's what they're going to ask for.
Yep.
And how comfortable are you making that move?
So, two things stand out to me. One, if he wasn't under contract for as long, then I wouldn't be as into it. Like, the other relievers that are out there, like Class A or Duran, like, you get him for a few years. This guy you get for 4 extra seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in your bullpen for 4 or 5 years. And the other thing is, he just blows people away. I mean, he has a 40.1% strikeout rate. Like, that's how you win in October. Lewis, what do you think about Mason Miller?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I had him on my fantasy team for a little while. I had to end up making a move, whatever it is. He's great. I know he has a little bit, we were talking about also before the show, a little bit more of a down year this year compared to last year. I do like the 4 years of control and the fact that he would be 4 years in your bullpen. You could really solidify that, and that's obviously always been, seems like it's an issue for most teams in the whole league. I mean, everyone's trying to get a reliever.
And it feels like the Phillies, we're doing this every year. Last year was Estevez, and the year before, every year we're trying to figure out the best. Just go figure it out. Just, you get Mason Miller, and you could put Clase or Duran in this because they're under team control beyond this year. But you don't have to play this game anymore. You have it locked in.
And here's my other question, too, and I was excited about this draft pick, Gage Woods. What do you think, where do you think he falls? He's, 21, 22? Yep. He played 3 years of college ball. So in theory, he could actually come right up to the MLB. If you get Mason Miller and Gage Woods is in the system, is it okay if Painter goes? Would you make Gage Woods a starter? I know maybe you had mentioned before the show, do you make Mason Miller a starter? Yep. Like, what do you think that situation looks
like? Well, it gives you options. I mean, you drafted the kid that you mentioned from last week as a starter, and there's been talk in the past that maybe Mason Miller goes back to being a starter. He was one when he was drafted. Most of these guys are, and then they become relievers. I don't know. Or you could build a super bullpen. I mean, you could do that too. So it just gives you options. I love Mason Miller. He's probably my favorite relief pitcher in baseball. It reminds me of when Papelbon was young with the Red Sox, when Josh Hader was young with the Brewers. Like, I think this is going to be the guy in baseball for the next 5 years. I would give up a ton for him. Now, Hugh, I would try to say no to Andrew Painter, but that might be what it takes.
Yeah, and that's what teams are going to ask.
Of course, they're going
to
ask for that.
I mean, because you talk about a pitcher that caliber, you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. So that's where it kind of always starts with me, because you're leveraging your future for now.
Yep.
And Painter's the future, but with this other guy, Mason Miller, looks like he fits right into that wheelhouse, and you have control for him for 4 years. But man, if I could do it without giving up Painter, I'd be a no brainer.
Does this start to impact a little bit that Painter's not pitching well? Like, I'm not out on Andrew Painter, and I still think he's going to be tremendous.
Doesn't feel like it.
But it feels like the shine is coming off a little bit. Like, two months ago, I was like, well, I mean, he's pitching to a 5 ERA, but why? Right? Like, is he maybe not quite as ready as we thought he was? Is he not quite as good? I can't explain.
I see what you're saying.
I'm not watching all his starts at AAA. I just, usually when a guy is Steven Strasburg or he's the next special pitcher,
he
just flies through the minor leagues and dominates. This feels a little choppier. I do wonder if it's changed their view a little bit on the Painter situation. All right, 215-592-9494 for Mason Miller, according to Ken Rosenthal. They are willing to listen. They're, you know, subject to change. It seems to me like the A's are willing to pick up the phone if these teams call. And, I mean, it says it right here. Which teams might tempt the A's? The Philadelphia Phillies probably would be number one on the list. Go make the call. I think this is a special arm. John in Mount Airy is up. What's up, John?
John.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, John, what's going on? John?
So, Joe, you hear me?
We got you, John. Loud and clear.
All right, so, I have to put these first for you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're missing the Pedro Feliz, the Scott Ayers, the so forth and so forth. They don't have a dog. Remember, we had great players, but we had people that stepped up when they didn't. We don't have that. This team is boring, but they're not boring. They just don't have a guy or multiple guys that you'd be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you can't say that on there.
I'm sorry. But you don't have that guy that you don't have that guy. They need a dog. We have superstars, but we don't have overachievers on this team. We don't have a Chooch.
I don't count.
Or Pedro Feliz. You don't care about that?
So, John, I think they could use more of those guys. So, Hugh just mentioned Otto. Otto Kemp's probably the closest thing to it. Hit a home run yesterday. He's probably going to get more playing time now with Alec Beaumont. I think he strikes me as that kind of guy. But, John, they do need more of that. I mean, they need guys to tip the scales. Like, they have the stars, right? They have Wheeler, and they have Schwarber, and Turner, and Harper. They need more of those, the guys on the margins, to help them. And unfortunately, this year, the guys that are supposed to be that have gone backwards.
We don't have the Shane Victorino.
Yes, yes. They're missing that.
We don't have any of that. And that's the only thing I'm saying. I think Dombrowski built a team that was great, top heavy, but the 2008 Phillies, last time we actually won,
yep,
we had that, but we had guys that were dogs. Matt Stairs.
Well, John, think about the postseason. I can think about Joe Blanton, Matt Stairs, and Shane Victorino. Victorino against Sabathia.
That's what I'm saying. If he would just understand, and maybe he needs to do a tap in history, like, listen, how last time we won and how we won it. We're built the way, but we're not built the Philly way, if you understand what I'm saying, Joe.
And it's unfortunate because that should be the easier one to get, right? Like, it's hard to get the star player. It should be easier, in theory, to get that player. But, John, they haven't got enough of those.
We don't have them.
I know.
And listen, this is my point on the Eagles, and I want y'all to understand it.
Okay.
And, Hugh, this is a Q&A with you. So, Hugh, in 2020, when Carson was the starter, were you good?
No, they were terrible. Terrible.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't here for that.
But they were terrible.
Thank you.
Remember, Hurts started a couple of games, and then they put in who?
Well, Hurts, you mean in 2020? Hurts came in for once. He took over the Saints game.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I knew what you meant, yeah.
Okay, I'm
and
sorry.
He played well down the stretch. He played well down the stretch. He beat the Saints, they had that shootout. You remember that shootout they had in Arizona? I thought he played very well.
Very well. Okay, so fast forward. 2021, the roster is still the same. What did they do? 3-5. They ran the ball. And they stopped him from throwing, and then we eliminated some things, and we were good.
Yeah, they went to the playoffs. They had a big, you know, big stretch down the end. Yep.
2022. What happened in that season?
Super Bowl trip.
Oh, Hurts can throw. Who would have thought? But this is the thing. Hurts can throw, but we still had a good running game because we had Miles Sanders. 2023 is the same situation. We had Hurts, but if y'all remember, who's picking up a blitz when Hurts is throwing? They ran through DeAndre Swift like Swift knife. We had a good running game. He went over 1,000, but if you want to throw the ball with Hurts, how do you have him blocking you as your protector? And that's our third down back. Remember, it was a time when they had to take this guy out and put Gainwell in. I think people don't understand how the progression of his greatness has, or his team's greatness. I'm not going to say Hurts, but Hurts came into a terrible situation because Carson Wentz screwed that up. And then we went 9-8. 2022, it was a revelation throwing the ball. 2023, he still threw the ball, but he started throwing more interceptions.
Right,
but
yep.
We didn't really have no running game.
Well, and then they got Saquon this year, and it was best of both worlds.
Right, but 2022 is my situation is because it's about protection. If your running back can't protect you, bro, what can you do?
Well, yeah, you're in trouble then. And John, we appreciate the phone call. So I think the point is Jalen Hurts has gotten better as time has gone on. Yeah. I think that's
that was the point.
I think.
You sure?
No. It was a pro Hurts call. Hey. Yeah, you could feel it. I mean,
appreciate the call, but you let that one go long. And
well, whenever a call comes in, they rip Carson Wentz. They get to stay on extra time. That's
my ADD kicked in. I'm sitting there like, where the hell are we going with this?
Well, so you can long talk, but other people can't.
No, I'm just saying when I long talk, I prepare people for it. That was beyond long talking.
Well, they got caught up in the story.
They did.
Yeah.
He probably started his day a little early. You think he started?
He's saying wine?
Maybe.
Something else?
Maybe.
You ever had mead, Hugh?
Mead?
Yeah, it's like honey wine.
Oh, no. But it's honey that goes bad, though, right? It's like in water. It's like that's what the Vikings and stuff
is
used
it called
to
drink, a meadery
right?
When they made
it? I think so.
Yeah, I went there. I went to a meadery.
It's
once.
Good.
I like it. I don't know if I'd get it all the time, but I enjoyed it then. All right.
It sounds like it's kind of sweet.
It can be a little sweeter, yeah. All right, can we get this out of the way and then move on? Cowboy Jim is up. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Cowboy Jim.
Hugh, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you two are back together. And no Kyle, God bless America. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I felt that coming.
Yes.
What kind of excuse was that? Was that a Dennis Rodman excuse you just gave?
You're talking about as far as, well, that was just a quick workshop. Now,
She fell through the ceiling.
She fell in my arms.
It was a ridiculous excuse. Well, she was cold. It's 87 degrees outside in the summer.
She did look cold, though.
The concert was outside.
I'm just saying.
In the summer.
She did look cold. And maybe there's certain things. Like, I'm not saying he could have got out of the lie, but I wouldn't have denied. I would have denied it.
When your hand's caught in the cookie jar, you just got to say I was going to have a cookie.
And then you say, who you going to believe me or your lying eyes? That's when you say stupid stuff like
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. The lying eyes that 5 million people saw.
It didn't make it no better. If he'd have just sat there and chilled, he'd have been all right.
It would have never went viral. Exactly.
Dennis Rodman got away with it, didn't he? Didn't he get away with it?
You can't go be acting like Dennis Rodman. All right, Jim, what do you got for us today?
All right, look, Joe, I'm going to actually agree with you about the Phillies. Listen. The bottom four batters stink. The top five are spotty. What, they're 500 since what, June? June 1st, I think it is? There's no guarantee that they're going to beat any of these tomato cans for the rest of the season. What makes anyone think that they're going to go to the playoffs? There's no way, Joe. Come on. Right?
I think the standings and the fact they've been in first place for a while are actually fooling us a little bit. Like, yeah, the Phillies are ahead of the Mets by a half a game. The Mets have been dreadful for a month and a half. If the Phillies were playing decent, they'd be 5 games up. Instead, this is a race now because the Phillies have given it back. And, Jim, the wild card is better than it has been the last couple of years. This is going to be a challenge just to make it in.
Well, I tell you what, if they got a couple of those hitters from the Angels, I think I'd feel a little bit better.
Well, I would too. But,
Hey, did you watch any of the Cowboys arriving in Oxnard? Their live streaming.
No. Why would I watch?
I saw
why would I watch this?
Is Micah there? Because I know they were talking about Michael's contract or something. Is he there? I just saw it on TV. I didn't hear it.
He'll be there. He'll be there.
No, that's not, Jim, that's not the question I asked. They reported today, right?
No, they reported yesterday.
Okay, so yesterday.
Well, they arrived yesterday.
Okay, they arrived yesterday. Was Michael Parsons a part of the group that arrived yesterday?
I did not check on that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not.
Jim, are you pumped for a 7-win season?
No. Maybe seven losses.
No, no. This is a 7-win football team you got there.
The Commanders are old. You have a tough schedule coming up.
Oh, stop.
It'll be a Cowboy year.
They just got Von Miller, too.
Wait. Goodbye.
You are delusional. They're going to win 7 football games.
Did he say that was – did he use Von Miller as a – as a positive?
No. I think it was a detriment. He was saying, like, the Eagles have a tough schedule. The Commanders are old. He was trying to pump up his Cowboys. So they're going to win 7
but
games.
You cry about it.
7 wins for the Cowboys. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, we come back on your phone calls on the Phillies. Are they a lock to make the playoffs? I'm going to check in with the poll, because last time I checked it, more people thought they were not a lock than they are. Where do people come down on that? And, of course, the trade deadline. Mason Miller's the name out there today. I would trade, of all the people out there, of all the names out there, he's the one I would trade the most for. He is a difference-making arm with a lot of years left. I think he's a special relief pitcher. I would go get him. Your reaction to the top five that was unveiled on Friday, and we get back. We have to react to the ring ceremonies. Friday night's Eagles Super Bowl ring ceremony, what we thought of the rings and the different features in there, which I thought were really cool and kind of spoke to all the elements of the 2024 Eagles. That's next, Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nothing says summer like grilling. And when I fire up the grill, you know I'm bringing the flame. Just like that, bringing the heat, just like that. Hatfield Savory Brown Sugar Marinated Pork Tenderloin is on my grilling go-to list. It's juicy, packed with sweet, smoky goodness, and so easy to make. Just pop it on the grill, and dinner's done right. This summer, put some pork on your fork with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes, tips, and where you buy Hatfield. Better care, better pork.